With over 200 flavor notes to discover, Woodford Reserve is more than just a spirit. It's a spectacle for the senses. Toast to 150 years of the Kentucky Derby with the best bet in bourbon. Raise a glass of Woodford Reserve on this monumental celebration.
Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Carmen and Yurko, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
All right, it's been a fun wrap. Week is finally here, thank goodness. We'll get a few haul calls. Paulie in West Palm called earlier. He wants the haul.
He wanted two
Adam,
twos.
Adam, like 4 more days, Adam.
Hey, 2 twos and a first next year.
A few more haul calls, I'm sure, this week, but thank goodness draft week is upon us.
I mean, you can get a premium, but my heavens, is that a premium and a half?
Well, we've had a fun show. We talked to Field Yates a couple hours ago. If you missed it, check out the podcast. Check out our YouTube channel. The interview will be up there. Make sure you like and subscribe to the Carmen and Yurko page. All the shows have their own now. Just search at Carmen and Yurko on your app or go to youtube.com/@Carmen and Yurko. Played a little Caleb Williams. Want to play some more for you, too. He was on Ryan Clark's podcast.
Please.
The latest mock from Jordan Reed has the Bears, of course, taking Caleb. Then he's got Daniels and May going off the board. The big three receivers are all gone by the time the Bears pick ninth. But in Jordan Reed's latest, Dallas Turner is available, and he has the Bears staying there and selecting Dallas Turner. But he does bring up the possibility or the scenario of the Bears moving out to acquire more picks. And I know that's what Yurko wants, if the three receivers are gone.
Yeah.
And Dallas Turner, you know, maybe not as impressive a prospect as Will Anderson was, although there's a lot to like. I mean, he is an athletic freak. The edge rusher from Alabama. If I had one concern about Dallas Turner, see, what I've learned from Yurko over the years is that watch guys who, and it sounds so simple, but like seriously, watch guys who don't like to be blocked. Watch the guys who are violent with their hands.
Yeah.
Watch the guys who can, like Yurko always says, engage to separate and discard and work
working edges.
Like, it's one thing that I loved about, you know, I talked about Bryce Huff a lot going into free agency. I'm like, man, this kid, Yurko, when you watch him, he's violent with his hands. So I've learned that from the good kid. Don't look for the guys who are sticky to bigger Velcro defenders. Find the guys who are violent with their hands.
You don't like guys Velcroed.
No, and it's my one concern maybe with Dallas Turner. As athletic as he is, I don't know if he's quite as violent when it comes to like getting rid of blocks. And again, it sounds like so duh simple, but when Yurko says it and you think about it, I'm like, that's what you need to look for. The guys who you can see on tape that don't like to be blocked, you see it in the way they move, the way they move their hands, the violence that they play with. And that may be my one concern about Dallas Turner. If the Bears move out, cool. If one, my want is the same as Yurko's. If Adunze or Neighbors is there, I think they'd be crazy to pass. I do. I think they'd be crazy. I think you got to grab one of them.
I think you do too.
And we'll see Thursday night if one of the two is there. Josh is in Lockport. What's going on, Josh?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Great, man. How are you?
Doing well. Carm, hey, I want to ask you, looking at the Bears' win total, 8.5 as of right now.
Yeah.
I'm assuming they took Caleb Williams into account, but are you running to the window now? Do you like the over? Because I have to assume that changes after Thursday.
I have to assume at some point, Josh, that's going to go to 9. I mean, they'll keep juicing it up as much as they can. It's like minus 130 last time I looked. That might go to minus 150. Who knows? Minus 160 at some point. And then they might just have to move the line to 9. I would grab it now. If you don't mind laying a little extra juice, if you can stomach laying $1.50, do I think the Bears go out and win 9? You'd love to do this after you see the schedule, because I think the rest edge things do sometimes matter. Yeah, I think the Bears can win 9 football games.
There's no reason to be in a hurry. They're not going to suddenly jump it up. Everybody knows what's going to happen in the draft, right?
Yeah.
Everybody has a feeling what's happening.
Absolutely.
In the draft. Free agency's there.
Yeah.
You're not going to get it to jump up a half a game or a full game.
They might just, as people keep betting it.
Well, don't they usually adjust the number?
The juice, they do. 100%.
They don't adjust the number, they adjust the juice.
Well, they might if they get to a certain point. But yeah, no, you're right. They'll keep adjusting that. And I think the Bears are a 9-win team. They should be.
I don't want to ruin the surprise when we make our predictions. But I feel this is an 11-6 football team.
Wow. Yurko, that's an easy over then. Yeah, so Josh, I like it. Over 8.5, I do. Haven't bet it. So I guess I don't love it. I have not bet that. That is not a wager I've made, but I do. Mike's in Lincoln Square. What's up, Mike?
Yeah, I had a question for Yurko and you guys, but listening to him last year talk about all the details of the defensive linemen, I heard something over the weekend that caught my attention. It was Dave Wannstedt, and he said, I don't want an edge rusher. I want a defensive end, a guy who plays the run and can rush the passer. And he kind of said the edge rusher is just this guy, all he does is go all out to get to the quarterback. So I was wondering, what's your perspective on it, given that they got Sweat on the other side? And then two, this guy, Dallas, I forget his last name, but the sort of like the leading defensive lineman, how do you compare him on the run versus Wannstedt? The guy he liked was the kid from Florida State, but he thought he's more of a mid-first round, not a top 10.
Yes, Jared Verse is probably mocking more in that middle section.
Yeah,
you're right, sorry.
The difference between an edge rusher and a defensive lineman. So you're asking, most of the time it's the guys that are undersized a little bit, size-wise, like 245, 250. Those are usually your edge rushers, your athletic guys coming off the corner with speed. You're looking for a defensive end. You're looking for a guy that's going to be able to play. I always say it's like a 3-4 linebacker on the edge coming in as a pass rusher, like Lawrence Taylor. Mm. Lawrence Taylor was only about 250 pounds. Mm. Came off the edge. But he played in a odd defense, and he came off the corner to rush the passer on obvious pass situations. And I think what Wani's saying is, I don't want a guy in a 3-4 system coming off the edge, like rushing the passer. Yeah. He goes, I want more of a guy, a hand-in-the-dirt guy.
Because they play a 4-3.
Philip Daniels. Philip Daniels.
Yeah, yeah.
Hand-in-the-dirt guy coming off the corner, playing with his hand in the ground. That's what he's looking for.
Yeah.
So he believes versus more of a stand-up, come off the corner guy. He would rather have the defensive end that's got the hand and is playing to run, is a three down player, not just a pass specialist.
I think he thinks Verse is more that player, not Dallas Turner. Turner seems to be more the stand up and Verse a little bit more the hand in the dirt.
One of the two, yes. Yeah.
Here's Caleb Williams a little bit more. We played some of this earlier. He talked about where he was and how he found out that Justin Fields got traded and what went through his mind. Here's the blowback from crying after the, I believe that was the Washington game. He was a guest with Ryan Clark on the Pivot Pod. Take a listen.
Not much, because since I was four when I lost, I cried. And so it didn't bother me, but the fallout that everybody it struck gold, I guess, for people and things like that. And so one thing about me is my guys know I care. Mm-hmm. So that's one. And then the second part of that was that one looked so much more than the other ones. Because, I mean, I've been on the internet before with you know, Jordan crying emoji and right next to my picture and stuff like that. I got some funny memes. I do. My homeboy behind the set sends me all of them. And so we both die laugh at them. You know, when we're sitting here chilling on the couch, we both die laugh at them. And so that one hit home for me because I understood that it was getting to the end point of the year. I wasn't able to reach a championship in possibly my last game or one of my last games. And so that's why that one hit so heavy and why it was so, it looked so exaggerated and things like that, because it hit me really hard right after the game because I understood my college career and my guys that I've been with, you know, for 3 years, 2 years is coming to an end for me. And going 6-3 at that time, you understand that there's no national championship. And so, especially in college, it beat me up pretty bad right there in that moment. So that's why it looks like that. But one thing, like I said, my guys know I care and winning is the most important thing to me.
I think he's got good perspective. I think we've learned a lot about that, just the stuff you've heard from him, some of the things he said himself publicly during this process in the winter and spring. Here's Caleb talking about the comparisons to Mahomes and Rodgers, a couple of the all-time greats.
Makes you feel good. So I mimic my game after, you know, it's like the
Kobe MJ.
It's like the Kobe MJ kind of thing where you know, you watch and you mimic and you, okay, I'm going to go try this. While I'm training, I'm gonna go try this little foot pop. I'm gonna try this, you know, throwing my body this way and throwing it back over my head this way, and like he did versus the Vikings in between, you know, 2-3 guys with a D in his face and things like that. So when I was like his second year in the league, third year in the league, so just, you know, trying things like that at a young age, trying things that Patrick Mahomes does, trying things that,
you know, Tom Brady does. Watching Tom Brady, and you can see in his eyes, like, okay, this is a switch that happened when, you know. So it's like I said, sitting back, watching, learning, taking in, you know, what I can take in and adapt to my game in my best way possible and make it my own.
And then does he think he can do what C.J. did last year? C.J. Stroud, of course, who had one of the great rookie quarterback campaigns of all time.
I want to do better. That's my thing. If the plan is to go, if that's the plan is for the Bears to draft me, the plan is to go as far as you can possibly go, all the way to February. And until things go the opposite way, then you deal with it. But, you know, if they draft me, my plan is to go work my ass off, get after it, get in the playbook really heavily, and, handle things the way things need to be handled, mentally, physically, nutrition and treatment and, sleep and all of that. Handling all of that the way it needs to be handled and get as far as I can and, and close as I can to February, probably, 12th, 13th of next year in NOLA.
So, yeah, my hometown, man.
Yeah. No
doubt. Lofty. It's big talk. Go get it. Love it. Go ahead.
I mean, every year you want to win a championship,
yes, you
don't
do.
You?
And you so feel like the Bears are trending in a direction that is much better than where they positive. Were just 18 months ago.
Yes, it's a positive direction.
God, please be the answer, Caleb.
May 9th, the schedule comes out. Do you know that?
May 9th? Is that May 9th? I didn't know that was the official date.
The schedule comes out May 9th.
May 9th.
I'm excited. The last couple years, it's come out on the 12th, the 12th, the 11th.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in May. It used to come out in April.
Come out on a Thursday. Dude,
yeah,
that's
all right. It used to come out in April.
Did it?
Yeah.
So we only have 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
Usually it was Thursday, right?
Usually it was out, yeah.
Excellent.
2 weeks. I thought I was going to only have to wait a week. Now I got to wait 2 weeks.
When's that London game?
Well, I mean, it sets my schedule for the year. You know what I'm saying? With the post game?
Of course it does.
I got to be able to find out if I'm going to play in the big cup. You know, there's a lot of things out there, Carm.
The big cup.
Big cup. Already thinking about it in October.
They haven't announced the opener yet, have they? They haven't leaked that?
I don't believe
so. The only game we know of is the Sao Paulo game, because there's a line on
Packers
that game.
Packers Eagles.
Yeah, that's the only official
game. That's the only official, because the Vegas posted a line on that, so that's the only one.
It's in Brazil.
Yeah, so, but Chiefs will play the opener, right? Obviously, defending champs.
Thursday night.
They'll play that Thursday night.
Yeah.
That's what they usually like to do. It was Chiefs Lions last year.
Last year, great game. Great game.
Well, it was a hell of a win by the Lions. It was a great way for them to start their season.
It was a great game to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
It looked like the Kansas City Chiefs were just not themselves. You know, they did not look like a team that was going to be dominant for the year. Certainly didn't look like a Super Bowl winning team at that point, Carm.
Well, I'll tell you when they didn't look like a Super Bowl winning team. It was those last couple of weeks. It was that, like, right after Thanksgiving into early December. You're like, whoa.
But they struggled off the bus.
What's going on with this offense?
They struggled out of the gate last year.
No. They were like 7-1, I think. They lost the opener, and then they won like seven straight.
Remember they played the Bears?
Yes.
And they put up a 40 spot on the Chicago Bears?
Unfortunately, I remember, Yurko.
You want to get healthy. Last year was play the Bears early.
They
Denver's first victory of the year came against Chicago Bears.
I'm sorry. They won 6 in a row. So they were 6-1 after dropping the opener. But remember, around
Christmas.
Did they get
destroyed? Did they get destroyed after that game? They went 6-1. What's the next game?
They lost 24-9. They played a stinker at the Broncos. Yeah. They lost 24-9.
Destroyed, right? That's destruction.
Okay.
Whether you like it or not, 24-9 is a destruction.
Okay. And then they won, of course.
For that offense, only scoring nine points.
9 points, yeah. And then, of course, they won 6 in a row to, you know, end the regular season in the playoffs. Six straight.
Dare I say you find another day where they didn't score double-digit points in the last 3-4 years since Mahomes been
Oh,
there.
Boy. That's a good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
There you go.
There are probably not too many of those. You're right,
When
Yurko.
I say destruction, I mean it.
There are probably not too many of those.
Yeah.
All right, we heard from Caleb Williams. I want to play a little AK sound from you. AK met the media over the weekend. The Bulls had seemingly a crossroads again. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know if there are any easy answers for them. And you might have less options because teams might be more careful with how they wheel and deal because of the new rules with the collective bargaining agreement that go into place this summer. 312-332-3776. If you want to join us before Crosstalk starts, at 2:35 with Waddle and Sylvie. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. Listen to us now. Live on the ESPN Chicago app. Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Cross talking about 15 minutes. It's Carmen and York on ESPN Chicago. Hope you're having a great Monday. The draft lottery in the NBA is about 3 weeks away, York. The 14 teams are, you know, we know who they are now that the playoffs have started. The Bulls have a 2% chance to win the number one overall pick. They're saying this could be the worst draft in history in the NBA. It's just not a lot of high-end talent. But the Bulls have a 2% chance to get the number one pick. They have about a 9.5% chance of landing somewhere in the top four, most likely going to pick somewhere around 11.
If there's no talent, theoretically, the talent that comes in, that's when your second-round pick is important.
I guess.
Or if you had multiple picks.
Or, you know, can you find a diamond in the rough and really develop
that
player?
Exactly. Yeah, these are the years the diamonds in the rough come out.
Yeah. The Bulls were pretty lousy Friday night. Never really in that game.
Yeah, down 34-17 at the end of the first quarter. They did not look good.
I don't know how they're going to handle this offseason. I want to play this for you real quick, just because it caught my ear. I sent it to Chris and Adam this morning. This was Friday before the game, York. This is in the pregame show. It was an ESPN game, you know, nationally televised game. Yep. The whole crew is there, Woj and Malika and the entire crew on set, Wilbon. Listen to Woj. This is Friday before the Bulls and the Heat even tipped off, okay?
This is a team, I think, just like last summer, where the market was far more limited. It was Damian Lillard available. There was only so far they were going to go in a trade. He gets traded to Milwaukee. It's going to be a different summer in the NBA. I think there's going to be a lot of guys entering the NBA portal.
Right.
And I think there's going to be a lot more player movement this summer. Part of it is teams underachieving, but it's also part of the new salary cap. You know, payrolls have to change. And there's going to be more movement. And so Miami is always in great position because, you know, especially if it's players with not a lot left on their contract, 1 year or 2 years, and they tell their team, I want to trade to the Heat. And if you don't send me the Heat, I'm going to become a free agent and go somewhere else. Don't trade me to that team or that team. Now, teams can still decide to send you where they want to send you. But it's always an advantage for Miami. Players want to be part of that organization. And so I think Miami will be in a position again to use the assets they have to go out and get another all-star level player that maybe is more, connects more on the timeline of Bam Adebayo and his age.
That's never the Bulls. It's Miami. Miami's got some built-in advantages.
Yes.
I get it. No state tax.
Yep.
You're on South Beach. Pat Riley's the best architect, builder, coach in NBA
Spoelstra's
history.
Spoelstra's a good coach.
Spoelstra's a great coach. So they do have some built-in advantages. They built that, though. I mean, Riley's built that. He's built that culture.
Sure.
But they're always in it, looking to get better, putting themselves in position to acquire those players that you hear Woj talk about. Players tell their organizations, I want to go to Miami. That's where I want to go. If you don't make it happen, I'll just go there as a free agent. I wish it was the Bulls. Like, why does Boston attack last offseason after going to the conference finals and go, man, it's not good enough again. Trade for Porzingis.
And they did.
Acquire Drew Holiday. Yeah. And they had a historically good season, too. We'll see if they can finish it off in the playoffs this year. Like, why do some of these teams constantly say, we got to find ways to get better. And, like, we're wondering what the Bulls are going to do after another year in which you lost the 9-10 game. Like, you weren't even in the playoffs. And what are you going to – you're running it back? And you're hoping Lonzo's healthy? After three surgeries, one of which no players ever come back from? That's the plan? That's it? 39? What did they win this year? 39, right, York? Yeah. 39-43, right?
Yeah.
39 wins, and it's like you're not – nobody says that about the Bulls offseason. It's like, well, they might just run it back. Here's AK over the weekend, Q&A with reporters. I think Casey's question is in here. This is about the luxury tax.
All right, assuming you can't – there always has to be one question about the luxury tax. And I know your stance on it. I know ownership's stance on it. I know what you say publicly, but if you do the math, if you're not able to trade Zach and you re-sign DeMar and Patrick as you say you want to, you're in the tax. So how do you square bringing a tax team to ownership when you're a ninth place non-playoff team?
My approach looking at the luxury tax is like if you can prove that your team is going to be in the top four, you go in a luxury tax. And I think, you know, it just makes no sense to, let's say, to be in a French and to be in playing if you're going to be in the luxury tax. So as long as I can, you know, put a team together that can be competing top four, that's when you're going to start looking at to go in. East, I would say. That's when you start looking, retaining guys and going into luxury tax. I think that would be my approach.
How are they doing that? He wants Patrick Williams back. He wants DeMar back. They're hoping on Lonzo. Are they better than and like stuff changes in the NBA. I get it. Okay. Like teams can look different. Are they better than Boston next year?
No.
Are they better than a healthy Knicks team with like OG being, you know, probably more of a contributor?
No.
Is OG still going to be there? Did he have a year? I don't know OG's contract status off the top of my head. But like just figure the way we think teams are going to probably line up. Let's say Milwaukee keeps Dame and Giannis together. Are they better than Milwaukee?
No.
Are they better than Indiana?
No.
Are they better than the Sixers with a healthy Embiid?
No, absolutely not. No.
Like, I haven't even talked about Cleveland. Cleveland might be one of those weird teams. I have a feeling Mitchell's out of Cleveland. But, like, are they a top four team? He's going to go sell that to ownership? Like,
I thought he meant top four in basketball.
He means in the East, Yerk, so that you could be a top four in the playoffs. Like, you're running it back and hoping you're like your fingers are crossed that Lonzo's healthy and I don't know. I think you're a top four team.
I think even he knows that they're not. He knows they're not a top four team. He knows he's not bringing it back.
Well, I don't know, Yerk. That's how I think Casey set it up that way.
I agree with Yerko. I watched the entire thing.
Oh, you did? Okay.
And the impression I got is that major changes are coming. He's just not giving you what's...
He's not giving it to you?
Now, he's...
Okay.
Saying the political thing and saying, yeah, both parties have interest in regards to DeMar, and that was kind of how he answered the Patrick Williams question, too, is that both parties have interest in getting a deal done. But then he repeated himself multiple times saying, changes need to be made. It's on us. We can't come back with this same group. He said it.
DeMar, like, kind of gave himself an out, didn't he?
I don't expect DeMar DeRozan to be back. He wants to win, and he just doesn't fit their timeline of what they're trying to do right now. I think that's the what you need to do is they need to pivot off of DeMar, Vooch, and Zach in this offseason. And, like, Vooch makes a lot of money, and he's serviceable, but you can find replacement centers to do what he does.
Yes.
And you need to move the money off the books for that. You need to move on from DeMar because even though he's a nice player, he was a good Chicago Bull. Like, it's not getting us any closer with DeMar DeRozan being here in the lineup. And Zach is an absolute must move.
It's a must.
You can't bring him back again.
It seems like it's going to be harder than most of us thought it would be.
Of course it will because no one wants him.
Nobody wants him.
Which we have been talking about on this radio station for 3-plus seasons. Yeah, the Bulls thought that he had some great value around the league.
The DeMar thing certainly doesn't line up anymore. That's a good way to put it, Chris.
But he did say, Carm, multiple times that change is needed. They can't bring back this same group. I mean,
he's got to know that at this point, you know? Whether he says, like, he's trying to, like, curb it by saying, well, I want those guys back, but, like, still giving himself the out. I think DeMar gave himself the out, too, where he said, yeah, I'd like to be back, and he likes it here, but he wants to win. That timeline doesn't mesh anymore. You're right.
It's
like,
gone.
Where the Bulls are and where DeMar is in his career, they're not a fit for each other anymore. They're just not. They're not at all. I'd be a little surprised if DeMar wanted to come back here, considering the state they're in. And, you know, DeMar being here for these last 2 years and the frustrations and, you know, being in that 9-10 spot and not being able to actually make the playoffs.
So the hope that Bulls fans should have is you need to hope that a couple teams that had expectations totally flame out here in the next week and a half.
It's like
that Sixers get swept. Dallas gets their brains beat in by the Clippers. Maybe something goes wrong with Milwaukee.
They looked pretty good yesterday,
but I mean, that's what you have to hope for is that some of these teams that actually make moves and tinker with their teams in the offseason are willing to part with pieces that don't fit because it didn't work for them, and maybe the Bulls could
pick up
something from that.
Eddie on the north. We got two Eds. Let's do them real quick. Eddie on the north side. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. The Bulls did everything what the fans wanted. Trade away marketing, get rid of this guy. We're not going to do this. We'll try to build it out. Got DeRozan, got Ball, got Vooch. And it didn't work out because the teams that are winning now are teams that stuck with their draft picks and built around them. Like joker, what, second round, 47 pick? And the guy's like the best guy in the NBA. And then, well, Atlanta's trade, when they traded Doncic to Dallas, that's just, I laugh at that thing.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
How great player he turned out to be. But it's just the same with the White Sox. Is Ryan Sharpe listened to all these so-called expert guys who said, oh, Anderson's awesome, this guy's good, we're going to sign this guy, we're going to sign this guy. And in the end, you know what? They all sucked. And this is what we have. And Ryan Sharpe's probably, you know what, I tried my best in this. What they need, and thank God they let Coby White take and put him out there for his minutes so he could develop, because they would have ruined Jimmy Butler, and he would have became the player he was. You remember, Pat says, I'm going to go down on your minutes, and you're not going to have your points. You're not going to have your rebounds. You know, when he wanted to get him for a contract, so he moved on, and he became a star. I mean, what are they supposed to do? I think you've got to have better management and people telling you better things or smarter things to do when you're doing it
might be a good start, better management. Probably a good start, because this one hasn't worked, unfortunately. Ed's in Plainfield. Go ahead, Ed.
Dudes, I know you're up against it. Yerk, back in the day, Tiny would talk about Kerry Wood, and it would just irritate me, and I'd have to call and fight with him about it. My new cause de celeb is freaking Sean Payton, dude. What I remember that guy is he crossed a picket line to become a spare bear, and you put him on this pedestal.
87.
What the hell has he done? Except win with Drew Brees exactly one Super Bowl. Exactly how is he a QB whisperer? Are you being sarcastic, believe this garbage?
He is an identifier of quarterbacks is what he is.
Where? When?
Forever.
Who? Tony Romo.
Taysom Hill. He can't even make up his mind with Taysom Hill.
He got Romo down. He made Taysom Hill work. I mean, Romo. Whether anybody likes it or not, it worked.
I love how
he should have practiced catching that freaking extra point. Try, and maybe Dallas and their fortunes would have been reversed. He should have coached them there, because he sure ain't as hell a quarterback one guy.
He wanted Romo before he wanted Breeze.
Thanks, Eddie.
He would have been right on Romo.
Yes.
He wanted Romo before he wanted a Breeze, and guess what? He was right on Breeze, too.
Well, we'll see. Let's see what he does.
San Diego quit on Breeze. I mean, does anybody ever criticize San Diego or any of the people they had in charge for getting rid of Drew Breeze and bringing in Phillip Rivers? Drew Breeze was the better quarterback. Yet they did it. Now, it worked for San Diego to a certain extent by getting Phillip Rivers in there. And Phillip Rivers himself had a nice little career.
Oh, yeah.
But they got rid of a stud quarterback they already had. They could have done something better for their football team. They chose not to do something better for their football team.
All right, Crosstalk coming up next with Waddle and Sylvie. Big O has the final word, brought to you by the Homewood Police Department. Your future is here.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have a last word
on Carmen and Yurko.
Bill Yates like ate 20 blue chews and gave me a brain bludgeoning through the ear. You dig?
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. Follow the show on Twitter at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64. This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, thanks for listening and calling into today's show. Thanks to Field Yates for joining us, and thanks to Black and Abdallah. Check out their YouTube page for some of the content later today. White Sox on at 6. It's time for Crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie. Back from the weekend to get you home on this Monday. Happy Passover, Sylvie.
Thank you.
Starts tonight, right?
You know it. We're going to be asking the four questions tonight.
Are you going to do the four questions?
Oh, you know us.
Play the hide the four questions.
What are the four questions?
How good is Caleb Williams going to be?
Right.
I'm just kidding.
Right. Who are you going to take at number 9?
Yeah, who are you taking at 9? Are the Bulls going to trade Zach?
Right.
And how many losses?
Will Jerry ever sell the team?
How many losses will the White Sox endure?
125.
They are going to challenge for...
Oh, there's no doubt.
The record, aren't they? Mm-hmm.
There's no question.
Did Harry ever offer, like, a topic? Let's think of the four Chicago sports questions today.
Probably, right?
Maybe.
For Passover?
Maybe.
Four questions?
I can't really remember.
I bet he did. I'm sure he did, yes. That's a great Harry topic, isn't it? There were some sell the team chants when I was there a couple of weeks ago, Tommy.
It was
mostly
there? Reds fans, actually.
Were they coming from you?
I was with Gio, so I didn't mind.
Why would the Reds fans be chanting that?
No, I'm saying
that
there were mostly Reds fans, but I did hear.
At the game. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was mostly Reds fans. I did hear sell the team, Jerry, sell the team.
You know what, though? I would say those are two owners that run their business in a comparable fashion.
Reds and...
And the Reds have found a way. They're not threatening anybody, really. But they're at least competitive.
Yeah, they got a fun young team.
They run their business the same way. It's like...
Crappy?
Pretty much from a financial standpoint.
But at the very least, they find
younger players that can compete a little
bit. They've got one of the most fun young stars in the game.
This team here, who runs their team in a similar fashion, can't find anybody.
It's terrible.
I mean, you get 35-year-old...
You see Aloy running to first base.
Journeyman leading on.
Like, can you... Like, what they've told him, too? Like, don't. Don't run.
Then don't play. Don't play.
You see him when he... When it's not out of the ballpark? Like...
Then don't
play. He can't run to first base.
Then he shouldn't play.
It's...
You know, they've played 7 series so far this year. They've been shut out in... Each series at least once.
That's hilarious.
7 shutouts.
That is hilarious.
They have been shut out at least once.
Isn't it funny how bad they are? Like, they're so bad,
it's crazy.
We're talking more White Sox than we have in like the last year
and
a half.
That's what I'm saying. I never expected to talk this much, but they're so bad.
So bad.
They're a topic. They're a topic.
They're so bad, it's a topic.
Even that you'll get tired of.
Oh, yeah, we will at some point.
I will. To move them to Nashville, I will learn how to drive a truck.
You think
Nashville don't want him there?
I'll get a CDL and I will move him there. Maybe they can negotiate a good deal with him.
Nashville wants to start fresh.
Maybe.
Jerry's going to be like, Paul, hey, Nashville, Arkin, we're yours. And they're going to be like, no, we want an expansion team.
Yeah. Okay.
We don't want you guys.
How about this, Carm?
Pass.
You saw what the Coyotes just sold for, right?
What was it?
$1.2 billion.
And they're moving to Utah.
They're moving to Utah.
$1.2 billion.
The Phoenix Coyotes?
Yes, sell it.
I mean, my God, that's the Phoenix Coyotes.
Correct.
That franchise, I can't even.
Sell it.
Now, I don't ever want to hear, like, from most of these owners, oh, we don't make money. The Coyotes might not make money. I don't know how they do.
I don't know what their books look like. All I know is that entity, that asset, was sold for $1.2 billion.
They were playing in a college. They were playing in a college arena.
Right?
Were they playing at ASU or
yeah, something like that, in front of 5,000 people?
ASU's hockey team is probably more popular than the Coyotes out there. It's pathetic. Yeah, so sell it, Jerry. Just sell it.
Most people say you can't. Do what you want with it, but like you're already beyond rich. Don't you also want to be rich and win?
Well, I don't know what like. What? No, obviously not.
That's what I was asking Waddle. Do you think anybody, Jerry, Michael? Based on what happened over the weekend,
Jerry,
because like a lot of people responded to me when I tweeted out the combined 4 games of Jerry's teams, they lost by a combined 38 points/runs. The Bulls lost by 21, and then the 3 games of the White Sox lost by, it was a minus 38 over the weekend.
Jeez.
38 in 4 games.
What do people respond to?
But like mostly a lot of people like that he doesn't care.
Oh, okay.
And they're all right. Like,
yeah, they're right.
They're not trying. But do you think there's any part of them at all that they're embarrassed? Do you think any part of Jerry over the weekend is sitting there saying, my baseball team has 3 wins?
No, not one bit.
Do you think, my basketball team ended and got their ass kicked without Jimmy Butler in the same city in the play-in where we got eliminated a year ago and another year of my life in my upper 80s just passed, and we're no better this year than we were a year ago.
I think he would respond by, did you see our building against the Hawks when we ran the Hawks out of that place? This is a basketball town. That place was jumping.
He could have 12. He could have 12 gates of those if he built a winner.
Listen, I'm with you 100%, but I don't think there's any embarrassment attached to it.
You don't think there's any that Michael or him are not embarrassed at all?
None.
By the product that they're putting out on the field slash court.
No, because I think they'll make excuse. I think the White Sox is a harder sell in terms of telling me you're not embarrassed by their play. Oh, I think they can give you a handful of excuses for the Bulls why they're not embarrassed.
He's only 88, guys.
I don't think they're embarrassed at all.
He's only 88.
Their franchise value keeps going up. What is it? I don't think he's embarrassed one bit. If they were embarrassed, it wouldn't be decades of this. If they were truly embarrassed.
Yeah.
They're not embarrassed. Why would they be embarrassed?
The asset value continues to grow. That's what the focus is, obviously.
They've got the last laugh. They're the billionaires. I mean, they're not embarrassed.
But if he, like you just said, if he's never going to see that wealth.
Yeah.
Like, I know he sees the wealth, but he doesn't, like, he's going to die when they cash it in for tax purposes.
Yeah, I don't know what the strategic plan is for the estate plan for it is. And it's almost, you know, it's dark to even have the conversation because it is sports, but I can't imagine that they're long-term holders of the team, right? They've already said that.
It's worse than Bill Wirtz right now. I'm telling you, because it's two teams. The White Sox are in a worse spot than the Blackhawks were in when the old man was here.
It's pretty close.
And now the Bulls, like, what are the Bulls doing?
I mean, the Sox have really nothing going
on. And like, by the way, like, I don't buy any of what that scripted written speech that AK gave on Saturday morning said. Like, I mean, he can say all of those things until they actually show you that they're willing to actually go in a different direction and become more proactive. They haven't made a trade in, what, 30 months?
Something like that.
I mean, they keep going to the gate with the same guys and pleading for good health and continuity.
Good luck.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not like Hoodie and Cap played I hadn't heard the full speech.
Do you want any of this?
I mean, it's scripted. It's all scripted.
What do you want? The opening statement? I only read the quotes about him saying that this team doesn't work and we must change it up. I didn't see any of it because it was Saturday. I was surprised that they did this so quickly. I was surprised that he found his way out of the bunker.
Yeah,
I didn't know if he knew. I thought it would take him a few days to find his way out of the bunker.
Saturday morning, right?
Yeah, he came out quick.
Yeah. They just wanted to be over.
You can say all you want that, you know, this isn't going to work this way. We have to. Until you start doing stuff, I mean, it's all just.
But why is he the last guy to know? Why was he the last guy to know that this wasn't working? Every Bulls fan who watched the game knew that this wasn't working.
Probably knew it last year, right?
Of course. This year was no different than last year.
He didn't want to do anything.
Except they were four games under 500 this year in the regular season. They were 41-41 last year.
Dan Terry's running around in Miami trying to do what?
They've drafted, and again, I get it. It's not top 10 picks. They drafted Dalen Terry and Julian Phillips, the last two.
Yeah. Draft. Those are the last two draft picks.
And what over the last 2 years, who have their free agent signings been?
Nobody.
Javon
Carter.
Javon Carter, who came in during garbage time.
Torrey Craig.
Torrey Craig, who can't finish an alley, a self-induced alley-oop.
That's Andre Drummond's fault.
Okay. But Torrey Craig didn't do anything this year.
Speaking of Andre Drummond, the year before, the two signings were Goran Dragic and Andre Drummond.
Those were the two
players.
Clubhouse.
Dugout. Those were the guys that were supposed to be difference makers after they won 46 games.
And again, then you had an opportunity to move on from them. Somebody would have given you at least one first-round pick for Caruso at the trade deadline. Drummond could have been traded.
Yep.
Like, you could have moved guys for assets knowing that your ceiling was no better than beating Atlanta in the first play-in game.
So you think they finally got the message? It'll be different this summer? I don't know how you. Well, the DeMar thing will take care of itself. Like, he's not coming back.
But
here,
based
right?
on their actions, Carm, what leads you to be confident that that's going to happen? Well, now we finally get it.
I don't know why he would want to come back.
I can't imagine at this point
unless
in his career.
Unless they significantly overpay for him.
Here's $40 million. $30 million?
Well, they're paying Vooch here of another $40 million for two more years.
Vooch's deal's not
three
terrible.
3 years, $60 million.
Oh, for a guy who hits three-pointers at 29%?
Wow. Yeah, Vooch's a player.
Hey, at least he had a double-double the other night. You know, for $20 million, Vooch, actually, it's not so bad.
Are you kidding me?
$20 million's nothing, Sylvie. I mean, that's...
He can't hit a three-pointer,
well,
Carm.
I know that, but...
If he's not part of the solution, yeah, he's part of the problem. Yeah, right. You know what I mean? Like,
that's
honestly,
$20 million,
where are you going with
somewhere
him?
Else? Yeah. I mean, that's what we're
right.
talking about.
Oh, yeah,
here.
Don't get me wrong. Like, you can get him out.
What a
I mean,
player. 18 points, 10.5 rebounds.
He's just probably, to me, like, not that high on their list of all the things that ailed
assists. Him, I guess,
is all I'd say.
This guy's a player.
He's probably like fourth on the list or fifth.
If he didn't end with an ooch, you would hate him.
An ooch.
The only reason you like him is because his name ends with an ooch.
Ooch doesn't end with an ooch.
It
ends with an each.
Each.
You know what mooch I'm saying. Bitch.
No, I don't. I don't really know
yes,
what
you're
saying.
Do.
What the hell, mooch? Is
yes.
he mooch? Steve Mariucci? I mean, what the hell are you talking about?
You know.
The guy's an itch.
Vooch, yes, what he is. If he didn't have an itch.
That's what Pax used to tell me. Pax goes, well, you and you guys with your itches. He goes, you're all over the place. That's not ooch.
Itch?
That's itch.
Because I keep calling you, I call him Vooch.
Hey, listen, obviously he's been a disappointment. He's nothing. Yes. He's not exciting. He just is, the best way I can describe Nikola Vucevic is blah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Blah.
By the way,
there
I mean
is.
Like.
Up and down the court.
Again, he's probably like fourth on the list of problems.
And it's blah.
Sure. Anybody that got excited after what they did against the Hawks were just, you were fooling yourself. As we sat here on Friday before the game began, and we all said, look, I don't know what's going to happen. There's a chance you can beat the Heat, obviously, because Jimmy's not playing. You played the Heat. I mean, you said that you were betting the Heat.
I liked the minus two.
Right.
I didn't bet it, but I did like the minus two.
But everybody's a different animal than the Hawks. The Hawks
the Hawks are terrible.
They don't contest anything.
Terrible.
Nothing.
You beat the Raptors last year, and you beat the Hawks this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you beat a Raptors team. You saw where that Raptors team was going.
Yeah, in the introductory play-in game.
Brutal. Listen, I just... Give me a good teardown and you'll keep my interest. The Bears, you know? I mean, give me a good teardown and I'll come back.
I know. If you do it success, it's not a guarantee.
Right.
But it's your best route if you do it right. The Cubs, the Hawks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you will get
my
attention.
Oh, wait.
But still, they didn't finish it correctly.
Right.
They got there.
That's true.
They executed the plan and they got to the doorstep. They didn't finish the rebuild correctly.
Yeah.
They got to the postseason in 20 and 21, yes?
Yes.
Soon after they went to the rebuild. They were a fun, up-and-coming young team. Many people had them winning the World Series with their projections in 22.
Passon had them winning the World Series.
Yeah, they just didn't finish the rebuild correctly.
They pooped a bed.
And their culture had a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
The moves had a lot to do with it. But they still executed a rebuild. The only championships this town has seen is because of rebuilds.
Sounds like you just farted, Carl.
Yeah, well, I was going to say that rebuild, championship window was like a fart in the wind.
They only pay Vooch $18.5 next year.
Oh, now you're back in.
$20 million.
It's a bargain.
20 in 24, 25, and then they pay him 21 in 25, 26.
Mm. Thank goodness it's draft week.
What can you get for
him?
What can you get for him? A lunch pail? What can you get for this guy? What can you get for Vooch in a trade?
They didn't get anything for anybody. They didn't get anything for Caruso. They didn't get anything for
taking expiring
DeMar.
Contracts. Yeah, right? Like at that point, I don't know.
Listen, when was the last time? Sylvie said this on Friday. When was the last time this team was relevant? When they got lucky with the draft.
With Derrick
Rose.
Yes.
Like last year, you had a generational player in Victor Wembanyama, right?
Yes.
Now, it was a long shot, but wasn't that the year? Especially when you had injuries.
Jerry Reinsdorf won twice with the Bulls. You know, and when I say twice, I know he won six times. But it was because Michael Jordan was gifted to him when he bought the organization. And it's when Derrick Rose, and they didn't win a championship here, but it's when they got lucky with Derrick Rose.
Mm-hmm.
So really, in fact, Jerry has never built anything with the Bulls. And you could say the same thing about the White Sox. Like, it was a one pop-up. He got lucky with inheriting Michael and then got lucky with the number one overall pick with Derek. And they had a pop-up. That's 80 years of owning teams in Chicago. There's never been sustained success. There's never been true building.
Never. The only time the Sox have ever been to back-to-back postseasons was COVID.
So say the Bulls got lucky this year. 2% chance to get the number one pick. Who's the number one pick?
Yo, that's the thing, Johnny.
I think it's the kid from France. It's not good.
Certainly not the same draft as it was last year.
Who's the number one pick? Good luck.
Yeah.
Alexander Sarr.
Sarr, yeah, that's it.
Sounds
Nikola
like a disease.
Topic.
I was going to say there's
a second pick.
There is a pitch. You're back.
Second pick, Nikola Topic.
Topic is
plays for Red Star Belgrade.
Yeah.
Out in Serbia. The first guy plays for somebody in France. And then you got a guy we know stinks and was dominated in the championship game, Klingon. Whatever his name is.
I'm trading down for the Hall.
No, listen, UConn. So what are we really talking about in the NBA draft this year?
Nothing.
Johnny, this kid
Connecticut stinks.
I don't think he stinks.
He's the White Sox is what he is, the basketball players. He got dominated by Edie, and this is the guy that's going to go third in the NBA draft. That's how poor the NBA draft is.
This is why last year was the year to make sure that you found yourself.
Or next year, Cooper Flagg.
Who's Matas Buzalis?
Tell us.
I don't know.
He's nothing. He's in the G League, baby.
Imagine having the 14th pick in this year's draft or 13th.
Do you know what his comparison is?
Who?
Mike Dunleavy Jr.
Really?
That's the fourth guy in this year's draft.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine?
And then you got Cody Williams out of Colorado.
Yeah, Cody Williams.
So there you go.
He might be one of those diamonds.
190 long, one of those players. What did you guys say, dip and dive?
Who's shutting out the White Sox?
Dip and dive, dip and dive. Or
who's shutting out the White Sox?
Minnesota.
Who's
pitching for Minnesota? Is
Chris Paddock
pitching?
Yep.
Yeah, Paddock's pitching tonight.
Okay, so. Yeah, there'll be no hit through five.
By the way, can't wait till Friday. That's going to be a can't-miss event with both shows in the same place. Buffalo Wild Wings in Woodridge.
Yep.
And, think about this, guys. We hope Thursday is franchise. That's a franchise-changing first round.
Yes, it is.
Don't we hope that to be?
Yes.
And then we're going to be partying the next day, both shows together, starting at noon with you guys.
It's going to be great.
Buffalo Wild Wings, Woodridge. Two shows for the price of one.
Right, you guys are going to stick around for the 4 hours with us, aren't you?
Nope. Yeah. Okay. 6.5 hours.
Sorry.
Carmen and Yurko will be around for the entire ride.
They don't desire that.
Give the people
that.
What they desire.
Food there, guys.
They don't desire that. No chance. All right. What's up on the show today, boys?
If you missed the Caleb, I watched the entire, both Waddle and I both. We watched the entire Caleb Williams conversation with the Pivot. We're going to play you the best stuff.
Okay.
This was really, really good. It was about an hour and 15 minutes.
Long.
Really good from his Hollywood condo. And there was a lot of good stuff. Everything from why did he cry in his mom's arms to what it's going to be like coming to Chicago to what he was trying to accomplish on the pro day. And I think you're going to like what you hear, Bears fans.
I agree.
Get to know your quarterback. He had an extensive sit down with the guys on the Pivot. We will play and react to it. And if you want to react to it, 312-332-3776.
All right. See you tomorrow, everybody. Waddle and Sylvie get you home next.